No matter how far away you roam, when you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can't beat home, sweet home.
Well, this song was originally composed in 1954, 67 years ago. Several artists have covered it over the years. It's a popular theme, if you will, and a universal emotion. There's no place like home for the holidays. Movies have been created about trying to get home for Christmas, and there's something about being around people you love, being around people in the holidays. And as a parent, grandparent, the greatest times are when you have all of your kids and your adult kids and your children and grandchildren and family around you. Last year, well, many of us struggled with it with the pandemic. We had a Zoom Christmas, right? Some of you probably did the same thing. And some of the hardest times are when you are not able to be around somebody you love for an extended period of time. Some of you may be like us. Chris and I have grown children across the country, some in California, some in Florida. And the holidays can be bittersweet. You want to be with them. There's a distance, and you love them. And so it's difficult. Some people have lost somebody they love dearly this year, and so it could be a painful time. And whatever the reason is that you're not around somebody you love, the longing to see them is very real. We are blessed with current technology as far as FaceTime and Skype, things of that nature. It helps, but there's nothing like being in their presence, nothing like being there with them, actually being with them. Several years ago, actually before we was married, our son Sean was in California, and he agreed to come home and didn't let anybody know but me so we could surprise the family. It was kind of a fun time, and it's just that excitement of being with somebody. And it's great when somebody that you didn't expect to be with just shows up. That's really exciting when you didn't expect it. And in many ways, that's what we're celebrating at Christmas, with the birth of our Savior. He showed up, if you will, and with him, love showed up. The long-promised wait for the Messiah was over. The Savior of the world showed up. And the Old Testament, of course, painted the picture of man's sin and the resulting estrangement from a holy God, while at the same time prophesying the coming of the Messiah that would rectify that sin, that would restore that relationship. And the Old Testament concludes with Malachi, in which in general is a rebuke from God to the Israelites and the many sins that they have. And so the Old Testament closes, if you will, with that rebuke. And then it's followed by what is referred to as the intertestamental period. It's a time between the Old and New Testaments, and it was about 400 years where there was nothing heard from God. No prophets speaking, nobody proclaiming anything. God was silent for about 400 years. That's a long time not to hear from somebody, if you will. And then suddenly, in the midst of the darkness of the world, love shows up. Love showed up in the form of a baby, in the form of the grace of God. When you've been away from a family member for a while, talking on the phone or the FaceTime is nice, as I said, but there's nothing like being in their presence. They're no longer distant, they are with you. And understanding it helps us understand the importance of one of Jesus' name, Emmanuel, God with us. Scripture tells us this in Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Prophet Isaiah foretold the Messiah coming in the form of a baby. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And when you see the child show up in Matthew chapter 1, it's in the very beginning of the New Testament. Old Testament closed with man's estrangement, all those years of silence, and then love shows up, the Savior shows up in Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, She was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. God with us. Not distant. Not nowhere to be found. Not unapproachable. Not against us. But with us. The very presence of God with us and us with him. Love showed up. And something I think is so often lost in the Christmas season is the bold statement of God is his presence. We think of the Savior, we think of the birth of the baby, well said, and think of the eventual cross and what was there for it. But what about his presence, his tangible presence? Through Christ, no longer is man estranged from God, no longer is man under the law, and no longer is man an outcast from the throne of God. Through Christ, you can literally come in God's presence, come in the throne room of grace. The celebration really is for Emmanuel, God with us. In the midst of this holiday season, in the midst of all the busyness, and the midst of all the presents that we put under the tree, make time, find time for the presence of God. From Christmas presence to Christmas presence. The present of presence. And God made a startling statement in the name Emmanuel. In Genesis, in the very first book of the Bible, God creates man, places in the garden, and God was with man. In the Old Testament, of course, is the story of man's fall, estrangement from God through the sin of man. And as I said, the Old Testament closes with man away from God under sin. Can you imagine if you understood that wait and then you had to wait 400 years, if you will, to have an answer for it? And then Matthew, the very first book of the New Testament, on the very first page, we find Emmanuel. God with us as he was in the garden almost. And we have the ability to spend daily presence with him. And don't miss God's startling statement, God desires to be with you. He wants to be in your presence. He wants you to be in his presence. It's so much more than just a baby growing or showing up and a Savior on a cross. It's the presence of God. And you understand God's presence, if you understand his heart. When we are estranged from God, God declared, I'm bringing you back to me. I'm coming to get you. Isaiah prophesied in chapter 7, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. And then chapter 9, for us, unto us, a child is born, unto us, a son is given. And if you listen closely, you'll hear it. Unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. Unto you, a child is born. Unto you, a son is given for your salvation. It's personal. God always takes the global promise that makes it personal with you. I'm coming back for you. I'm coming back to be with you. For God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son. A son is given. 1 John 1:9 says this. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his only one and only Son in the world that we might live through him. 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory was only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Love showed up to be with you. Now we know the story. When love showed up, if you will, there were shepherds in the field tending their flocks when an angel stood before them and said this. And we look at this every year around this time, and we say, well, it's a Christmas story, but it's not. I always tell you, remind you, this is Scripture. So Luke 2, verses 10, Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. God with us, not distant, not unreachable, not unapproachable, but approachable with you." We've mentioned it so many times. When the angel stood before them, they were greatly afraid. Yeah, we understand that. I mean, we get this picture of shepherds out in a field at night, quiet, and all of a sudden this angel stands before them, and you know, the first thing the angel said, "Don't be afraid." Well, why would the angel don't be afraid? Why not? I mean, you're going to be startled. They were certainly fearful. Who wouldn't be? Angel said, "Don't be afraid, because I bring you good news. God's coming to be with you, to save you." And so many people are afraid of God's presence. They feel they're not worthy. They feel they're too sinful. They don't want to get too close to God. Certainly, I've talked to people that don't know Christ that feel like that, but there are believers sometimes that to really be in the deep presence of God, they're not comfortable with it. And all too often, what's lost in a Christmas message is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of God. 56 years ago, Charles Schulz created this Charlie Brown Christmas. It showed every year. In fact, when they kind of stopped taking it off, there was an outcry, and people want to know, this Charlie Brown Christmas. 56 years ago, and on the 50th anniversary, Jason Sarosky, a musician, a youth pastor, noticed something, and he wrote an article about it in Charlie Brown Christmas. He noticed something that Charles Schulz, he felt intentionally included, and is not often recognized. Linus, of course, is one of the characters, and he writes, "Charlie Brown is best known for his uniquely striped shirt, and Linus is most associated with his ever-present security blanket. Throughout the story of Peanuts, Lucy, Snoopy, Sally, and all others work to no avail to separate Linus from his blanket. And even though a security blanket remains a major source of ridicule for otherwise mature and thoughtful Linus, he simply refuses to give it up until the moment when he simply drops it. Watch for Linus to drop his blanket."
Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. "And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Applaud for him. Yeah, we gotta love Charlie Brown and Linus. Jason further writes, "The birth of Jesus separates us from our fears. The birth of Jesus frees us from the habits we are unable or unwilling to break ourselves. The birth of Jesus allows us to simply drop the false security we have been grasping so tightly and learn to trust and cling to him instead." I would add, the birth of Jesus frees us from the fear of God's presence. And sin is what drives us away from the presence of holy God. Luke chapter 5 tells of the time Jesus arrives on shore early one morning. He's preaching, and a great shout shows up, shows up to listen to him. And so Jesus gets into the one on the emptying boats, and if you know the story, the fishermen had fished all night, didn't catch anything, and they're cleaning their nets, their empty nets. So So Christ preaches from the boat and tells Simon Peter to head back out and drop the nets. And these are the ones they just cleaned, of course, once more. And Simon answers in doubt, but obeys anyway. And they haul in so many fish that the nets begin to tear. Now, if you get this picture, Simon had heard Jesus preach, but now he's filled with the understanding and the majesty of Jesus' presence. He gets it. Luke 5:8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Scripture tells us that everybody around was astonished at what just happened. I mean, they couldn't believe it. And a careful look at the context, if you really look at it, Jesus never left the boat. He didn't crawl off the boat. So as Simon is reluctantly obeying, he's right next to Jesus. He'd been sitting there the whole time when he preached, really. But all of a sudden, he got an awareness of the very presence of who Christ was. What changed? An awareness of the glory of God, the holiness of God. "Depart from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid." And "do not be afraid" in the grammar of the ancient Greek, this is literally saying, stop being fearful. He calms an existing fear. It's one thing to tell you, don't be afraid, it'll be okay. It's happening tomorrow, it's happening this week, don't be afraid. What about when you're afraid right now? I mean, you're upset, you're concerned, you're afraid. And Jesus says, stop being fearful, I'm here. And God doesn't want us to relate to him with an attitude of fear. God wants us to relate to him with an attitude of love. 1 John 4:8, he who does not know love does not know God, for God is love. To know God, to truly know God, means that you know and understand that God is love and that God loves you. 1 John 4:18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Love showed up, and love shows up. I want you to consider for a moment that God first announced this message of peace and salvation to the world. Think about the shepherds. We've looked at this in times past. But they were considered the lowest rung in society's ladder. Unfortunately, they were not always the most honest. I suspect the shepherds that were out there that night were. They weren't unable to leave. They were unable to leave their flocks or attend ceremony sacrifices, so they were considered unworthy. Their testimony was not accepted in a court of law. And for the religious of the day, they would have been the very least likely people that God would come to. I mean, he's going to show up to the religious people, right? The ones that think they know all about God. But God saw it differently. And the whole point of his message is that he is approachable for everyone. The angel told Joseph that Jesus would save his people from their sins. The angel told the shepherds that Jesus was the Savior for all of mankind. Isaiah prophesied of the finished and complete work of the cross of Christ. It is through Jesus and his saving grace that we're cleansed of our sin, and through Jesus we're boldly ushered into the very presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And imagine how the shepherds must have felt. Their life was different from most, probably separated from their families for long periods of time, certainly known as social outcasts. Wherever they were in the villages, most people looked down on them. To make matters worse, they grew up knowing this separation. Probably taught in their families, grew up in it. They even been taught they were not worthy to approach God, let alone God approaching them. And with this attitude, all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord appears before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. I wonder what scared them most, the angel or the glory of God? And see, the glory of God symbolizes the presence of God, the glory, the presence of God And the presence of God can be frightening if you're not used to it. How used to being in God's deep presence are you? And the manner in which God announced his birth of Jesus assures us not to be afraid. And can you imagine what happened to the shepherd's self-esteem after this encounter? I don't think they were arrogant. I'm sure they were humble, but I'm sure they felt quite differently about themselves and their relationship with God. Because when you get into deep into God's presence, you will feel differently about your relationship with God. You'll be reassured. Our relationship with God is not about who we are, what we accomplish, or our social or religious status. Our relationship with God is based on Christ and his work on the cross. After the shepherds visited the Messiah, Scripture says, they told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. From ordinary folks to proclaimers of the Messiah, just like you and me. And when you spend time in the presence of God, you will be changed. In his presence, Scripture says, is fullness of joy, fullness of peace, fullness of grace. How might your life be different if you developed, regardless of where you're at now, a deeper sensitivity to the awareness of God's presence in everything you do? What would change in your life? If you developed an ability to be deep in the presence of God, regardless of what's happening, that you can be aware of God who's with you, lives within you. We talk about praying and worship and ushering the presence of God. We're really never going to usher in the presence of God because he said he's with you always, right? What we do is become more aware of God and less aware of ourselves. And God desires that for you. But sadly, we too often want to avoid God's presence. We're too busy, we have too much to do, or there's too much sin in our lives. Never let the devil tell you that you're a social outcast from heaven. When you know Jesus, you not only belong to God, he desires to spend time with you regardless of where you're at. If you're deeply away or deep in sin, he wants to help you with that and through that. And when you know Jesus, because of Christ, you are worthy because God sees in you the finished work of Jesus. When God sees you, he sees his child washed and forgiven. His message is still the same today. Don't be afraid. I have great news. Love showed up, and love is still here. And so perhaps that's the real message of Christmas, that love showed up, and love wants to be with you. God wants you to know his presence, to be in his presence, to seek his presence, to hunger for more of him. I want to invite the worship team to come forward. Don't check out just yet. Scripture informs us that man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Truth be told, that's what scares us sometimes. We worry about the condition of our heart. Lord, look at my outward appearance. Look at my works. But let's not talk about the depth of my heart too much. 1 John 3:18. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence. And we'll receive from him whatever he asks because we obey him and do the things that please him. Now, understand, this is kind of a wordy passage. One scholar says this: we belong to the truth. Whenever our hearts condemn us, we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If we're guilty, we come into his presence, we get cleansed. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful. He's just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Folks, this happens in his presence when you come before him confessing your sin. Chapter 3 continues on. 1 John 3:23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave commandment. Now he who keeps his commandment abides in him, and he in him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. You know, love showed up and invited us into his presence. And just as the shepherds were invited to go out and see the nativity, you're invited to see for yourself. You are invited to daily come in to God's presence. God wants to give you what he wants from you, the present of his presence. Let's stand and worship our God together this morning.
Thank you, Pastor. I don't know how many of you guys were with me, but when he showed that cartoon, it filled me with a longing for simpler times. People say the good old days weren't so good. After these last couple years, I'm not so sure. All right, let's lift up God.
We have heard on high, sweetly singing.